Now available at franksupermarket.com.
Getting knocked down on the football field makes you tough. But getting back up makes you tougher. At Goodyear, we call that determination. A willingness to put in more hours, more reps, and more heart to reach a bar that's sky high. Because the Goodyear blimp doesn't show up for just anybody. So don't be just anybody. Be blimp worthy. Goodyear, more driven.
Want more from your bank? Open a Cajun Pride checking account at State Bank and Trust Company and enjoy the benefits. Unlimited check writing, overdraft protection, online banking, mobile banking, debit card, ID theft assistance, safe deposit box discounts, prescription drug discounts, shopping, travel, entertainment discounts, and much more. Call or come in for more information about applicable fees and terms. State Bank and Trust Company. Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. State Bank and Trust Company, member FDIC.
Chloe, put your helmet on.
Okay, Dad.
You work hard to protect your family, but some risks are easy to miss. Mosquito bites can spread germs that cause West Nile virus or Zika virus. Cockroaches leave behind bacteria as well as allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Stinging insects send more than 500,000 people to the emergency room every year. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org. A public service message from the National Pest Management Association and the CDC.
The new week of college football and the NFL kick off on Thursday night, and we're here to feel that kick with Game Time. Thursday nights, join me and John Forcade as we come to you live every Thursday night from the Dock and Slide L, 118 Harborview Court. Come on out Thursday nights and be a part of the show. We can simply enjoy the Dock's delicious menu with such favorites as Oysters Rockefeller, char-grilled oysters, and the classic stuffed crab. And no, we didn't forget drink specials. So join us Thursday nights at the Dock, 118 Harborview Court in Slide L, 6 to 8 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
This is Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans. De La Salle, the right fit. And here's your hosts, Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Fave Favorite.
We're 1 hour down, 1 hour to go. We want to thank Dennis Gaines for joining us in the last segment. That's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School. And now we're going to do a little bit of having some fun here. It's about the midway point. It's a little bit past the midway point in the high school season. But if you count playoffs and everything like that, we're right smack dab at about the midway point of the year. So we're going to give some MVPs and some attaboys, Coach of the Year, Team of the Year. I'll lead off here. We're going to do our Coach of the Year first in this segment, and I'll lead off with one that – we'll kind of get the thought process spinning around for the guys here. I'm going to go with Rumble coach Jay Roth because I didn't think these guys were going to be 5-1 through six games. A lot of folks that I was talking to said they may not win five games all season. So the fact that they're sitting at 5-1, I think that's an attaboy to Coach Roth and his staff. And a kudos to those guys. They've done an excellent job so far this year.
Okay, well, if I had to go on bold prediction mid-season, if I had to pick a coach of the year mid-season, I would probably go with Coach Marcus Scott at John Eric High School. He just inherited this John Eric football team, a team that, you know, dealt with a lot of adversity with the coaching change there last year, and they're rolling. They've lost to West Monroe, and they've been playing competitive ball since, beating a good Destrehan team. They have a big game this weekend against Landry Walker. So I just say, you know, hats off to Coach Marcus Scott, someone who came in and took a program and brought him back to greatness. I mean, if you look at the history of John Eric over the years under Coach Billy Nard and even those Coach Corey Lambert teams as well, very competitive teams, averaging about 12 to 14 Division I players going to play well on the next level, like LSU's Michael Divinity. So I have to go with John Eric's head coach, Marcus Scott.
Trey, it's okay to pick somebody like other than Coach Manali, brother.
Yeah, I'll have to go with Joe Chango from Country Day. I feel like Country Day is a very good team, beating Newman, who is also another undefeated team coming uptown to Newman. I think that was a very good uprising for this Country Day team, so I have Joe Chango.
That's an excellent pick. That's a guy that I didn't even think to select, but that's an excellent pick. Now, one big prediction for the second half. Do you guys want to go first this time?
You go first, Trey.
a big prediction. High school wise, I feel like, well, I'm going to start off with my team. Big prediction for us. We're going to go undefeated in district. I see second to third seed in the playoffs. I see we playing U High in the semifinals.
I like it. Stick to your team. That's good.
I guess I'll take it from
here.
All
right. If I had to, you got it. You have it.
Okay. Let's do this, man. I'm going to go way out on a limb here. I don't think John Curtis is going to win the state championship. As much as we've been talking about these guys every single week, that bracket is too difficult to go week in and week out. I think somebody's going to trip them up here. I don't think they're going to win the state championship.
I guess it's my turn, right?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to say that Warren Easton beats Carr this year.
Wow.
Hello.
That's a bold prediction. I went to the playoff game last year. Hello. Trey took the hello for me. I like it. I like it, baby. I went to the playoff game last year when Carr went against Warren Easton to go ahead and on into the championship. Or was that for the semis? I forget.
Championship.
You know, my old football brain is just getting there, man, as I'm chilling here in my 30s, right? And that game was really competitive. It was really competitive. I want to say Lejeune did a really good job at just managing the ball, making a good determination of when to run, when to pass. There were a few plays away from upsetting Carr. So my bold prediction is that Warren Easton beats Carr this year.
Okay, so let me ask you.
Pretty bold.
Do they beat him in the regular season or do they beat him in the playoffs?
That's a good question. Go ahead, Trey. Go ahead. Because I was going to – go ahead. Go ahead. You got it, Trey.
Okay. I feel like Easton beats Carr in the regular season. Then they're going to play in the semis again. I feel like it's going to be a tight game. I feel like if Easton can control their penalties and control the where they're playing, I feel like they can beat Carr in the postseason too.
You guys got me
prediction.
Fired
That's
up
bold,
over here.
That's that. Bold prediction.
You guys
that's
got high, me
That's
fired
Louisiana
up.
High school football for you right there, baby. Now, yeah, you're right.
Let's go team of the year. Who's going to end up emerging and being that top dog team that we, you know, we've had this discussion a couple of times on the show. Who's y'all pick for team of the year so far?
I mean, I could go first on this one because, you know, this is an easy one for me. I think the team of the year is U High, University High out of Baton Rouge. I've talked about this team a lot. I've actually talked with a lot of people down here, and we've talked about this on the show about them playing against New Orleans teams and what teams could sustain and fight. And I feel like Edna Carr and Curtis could play with this team, but I've watched this team play at least, what, three times this year so far. They beat the brakes off of Catholic. It started off competitive. They beat a really talented, really good Southern Lab team. And then they also beat a Zachary team that won the state championship. So you have three teams in the last, what, 4 years that's been consistently in the playoffs and in the championship, and they've and won, and these teams have beat them. So I think U High will probably be the team of the year.
Take it, Trey.
Okay. I put three teams because I really don't know. I don't know.
This is hard. We got to realize how hard this is for Trey because he has to say, like, Dylan. He really has to say Dillacell. But he is working his night job right now, so we'll let him go.
I feel like I have Carr, University, and I have Country Day. So out of these three, Carr, they have a very strong team. University has a very good, strong team. And also Country Day has a strong team with a lot of youth and a lot of players playing both sides of the ball. So to see that they're 6-0, undefeated in the district, and seeing them beat Newman, who's also a very good team.
Really good team.
I feel like Country Day, they have a very good chance to get team of the year.
Look, as much as I would like to disagree with both you guys just for the sake of arguing, University Lab has played six games. They face Mandeville, Southern Lab, Catholic of Baton Rouge, West Feliciana, Zachary, and Brule. For folks that are not familiar with the Baton Rouge area or the North Shore, those are some incredible teams. They've outscored those teams 263-93 this season, They've blown everybody out in front of them. Right now, that's my pick, man. Pound for pound, I think they're the top dogs. I would like to see the dog that could bite these guys, but, man, goodness, they're a really good football team.
They are, man. And I get a lot of slack from my peers with this. Now, I have some good buddies down here, my homie Coach DJ, my other homie Brandon. They were getting on. We were watching the Monday night game the other night, and I was just telling them, I'm like, man, look, we watch the teams down here play, and we watch University High. Had an opportunity to watch University High play for a long time. I remember this team and Coach Roth. We'll have to get him in here soon. He'll probably attest to this for me. They played Rommel close, and there was 85% sophomores on that team. Have Ryan Clark's son, Jordan Clark. Yeah. He started. This was a very young Christian Harris. Donald Bernard, I talk to you about him all the time. Leland Jones, Dorian Harris. I mean, I can, you know, obviously Mark Coppola. I can name some of the guys on that team, obviously, because me and Skylar trains them. We train the guys in the offseason, but, man, I just have to give credit where credit is due. This is a really very balanced team, man. You know, you're talking to a guy that came from under Coach Hank Tierney now. So I've played on some balanced teams, man. And this team it has that, X title. Factor. Yes, they have that X factor.
One last trophy to hand out. Who is the prep MVP so far in the midseason ranks? Look, I spent the whole commercial thinking about this. I don't feel good about my answer either way. There are 20 people that you could pick, but what are y'all thoughts for prep MVP?
I feel like I have two. I feel like Chandler Fields and Justin Ibetter. Chandler Fields from Rommel and Ibetter from Country Day. That's who I have down.
If I had to go right now, I have a split two. Quiet as it kept, this team isn't really good, but they have a really good running back in Terrell Brown, and that's Helen Cox. He's making a compelling argument. This guy is averaging close to 200 yards a game. I mean, there's the kid, the running back down in Bell Chase, too, that's pretty good. But, I mean, if you go overall and we categorize, man, this has just been a categorized week for me, man. I've been talking NFL great quarterbacks with coworkers and stuff. And I have to give it to John Emery out of Destrehan. I mean, he's consistently in the top three rushers. I mean, if he goes against Mike Hollis from U-High, their numbers fluctuate throughout the season going to this midway point. You know, give or take with those two guys, the running back for U-High, Mike Hollis. But right now, John Emery's really getting it in, just a complete running back. He probably will win that MVP award.
I had two guys on my list as well. Emery was on my list for all the reasons that you said. He's carrying that team week in and week out. And another guy, Mumphrey and John Erick, man. They've gone and beaten Hanville and Destrehan. He's carrying that team late in games. Mumphrey's got to be in that discussion. He's doing an excellent job. But, man, there's any number of folks that we could have picked for this. We didn't even talk about
it. There's a lot of players.
Talk about North Louisiana at all. In the city, there are tons of guys. Carr's got some guys that we didn't mention. We can field a really, really good roster. Hey, look, that's a good problem for Ed Ogeron to have, because he's going to be getting a lot of these kids over the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Hello, somebody.
Let's do this. Let's take our next commercial break. When we get back, Drew Brees made history on Monday night, and we're going to give our thoughts about that. It's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School. We'll be right back after this.
Kaboom! It's a blowout sale at Homeless Clayton Homes. Single wides start as low as $36,000, and double wides start at $55,000. Multiple installation packages are available. Visit Homeless Clayton Homes on Facebook to schedule your appointment today. These ain't your grandma's trailers. Don't miss out on the best deal of the year. Dial 985-872-2850. That's 985-872-2850. If your old trailer house has got to go.
Deciding when and how to retire is one of the most important financial decisions you'll ever make. Do you take a lump sum? Do you have to pay taxes on this money? How do you invest during retirement to make sure you don't outlive your income? What health insurance plans are available? With such an overwhelming number of questions, the most important decision you can make is to seek the advice of a trusted, qualified advisor. Chris Godet has served the area for over 12 years and has the expertise to work with you to find the right solutions. Give Chris Godet a call at 632-6049.
If pests are pestering you, call the experts at Terminix. They'll rid your home or business of disease-carrying rats, mice, roaches, spiders, even crazy ants. Call your local pest control experts at Terminix for a free inspection. Terminix also offers home insulation. In La Rose, call 693-3152. That's 693-3152. 693-3152. Terminex, power over pests.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit their website at visionsource-drdarbychasson.com.
Superstar Alberto Del Rio, take one.
Behold the angry giant.
Try it again, Alberto.
Behold the angry giant.
Perfect. Good luck tonight.
Behold the angry giant.
Yay! Read me another one, Dad.
This is WWE Superstar Alberto Del Rio. It only takes a moment to make a moment. Take time to be a dad today.
Visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Join us for varsity football coverage, 6:30 pregame and 7 o'clock kickoff. Friday, October 12th, St. LaFouche vs. Morgan City. Our broadcast is sponsored by Jimmy T. Jim LaFont, candidate for Gary LaFouche Port Commission Seat C, Joseph the Contractors, Advanced Eye Institute, Pipeline Construction and Maintenance, Vision Communications, and Francis Bruce, candidate for Gary LaFouche Port Commission Seat H. Friday night football on 100.3 FM and 1600 AM KLEB.
And now back to Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Fave Favorite with more Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans.
It is Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School. Casey Gisclair here in the studio. Marlon Big Fave Favorite out of De La Salle. We've got Trey Hand and the whole gang out there doing an excellent job as always. And look, I know that this is a prep show, but we'd be remiss if we didn't shout out New Orleans zone Drew Brees for breaking the NFL all-time record for passing yardage. He now sits at 72,103 passing yards. Fellas, your thoughts as you were seeing history unfold on Monday night?
Well, the first thought that popped in my head, man, is a guy that really took a bad situation and turned it into a great situation. If you look at Drew Brees' resume and all the obstacles that he had to go through and all the adversity that he's faced in his time frame. I was a teammate for Drew Brees for about 4 weeks at a very high point in his career, obviously the Super Bowl. But, I mean, you have a guy that was too short, right, by most standards, ended up going to Purdue. And he got drafted in second round. And, you know, from there, he was able to do well on a good team with Damian Thomas and you know, that San Diego team. Get a franchise tag. The year he does that, tears his rotator cuff, 31 teams said no. Now, here's an interesting little piece of that story. My old ball coach, Coach Nick Saban, really wanted Drew Brees in Miami. That changes history, Casey. That right there changed history. That one thing right there. If that happens, Alabama wouldn't be the dynasty that they are right now. And Miami would probably be going head-to-head with one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, Tom Brady, in championships. And Nick Saban stays in Miami. All that happens. But the city of New Orleans, we were blessed down here to, you know, get that whole staff. I thought, you know, rest in peace to the great late Tom Benson. The decision to bring in Mickey Loomis as a GM, which brought Coach Sean Payton, in my opinion, one of the better offensive minds of all time. And now you have Drew Brees, in my opinion, a top five quarterback of all time right here in the city of New Orleans.
You know, fellas, I'll tell you a story. And when Drew Brees signed here, I remember going to a Zephyrs game in August, and he was throwing out the first pitch. So this is in August now, before his first season. His arm is still in a sling. And I'm telling my dad, who's sitting on the side of me, said, man, the Saints just signed this dude. He, you know, his arm's hurt. He can't even throw a baseball. And then, lo and behold, a couple of months later, he's in the Dome against the Falcons, that memorable game where they blocked the punt and all this crazy stuff. They go to the NFC Championship game that year. But a lot of folks don't realize the backstory behind that. The Saints almost left and went to San Antonio. I mean, there was a lot of drama behind the scenes. This guy saved football, professional football at least, in the state of Louisiana, because if that team tanks that next season after Katrina, they may not be here anymore. But the fact that they got it rolling right away was great, and it's invaluable how well they have done here during his tenure.
It is, man. And if you look at how consistently he was able to have a high completion ratio. Mm-hmm. Now, again, that's a stat. I mean, it's remember, I've really been dealing with this conversation for a very long time with coworkers in the last few weeks, obviously. I really stirred up after he broke the Favre record. But, you know, conversations of folks wanting to put him in the category and call him the GOAT. I can't say that, and this is nothing against Drew. But, I mean, while Tom Brady is still playing football and is the quarterback in this era, it's a tough deal. But, I mean, when we can mention our quarterback right here in New Orleans is a top five.
Yeah, something special.
That's something special. I mean, you can mention him with Tom Brady, with Joe Montana. You can mention him with Brett Favre. He's in the same breath of those guys, and I think that's just magical for the city.
Yeah, Trey, some thoughts as you were seeing history made on Monday night.
So at the practice, me and Kendall Baker, our fullback, we were at a volleyball game.
Cool.
And the game was running behind, so it was like, hey, they got to 6:45 to come out and start playing. Because we weren't going to miss the record. I was literally on my phone looking at Bleacher Report to check the details to see if the game started. But I actually got home on time, see the start of the game, see Mark Ingram come back, do all that good stuff. But I saw Drew Brees when he broke the Favre record. I was like, okay, yeah, he's going to make it. And then I heard about them talking about he might hit 500 club in the same night. I'm like, oh my God. So I'm like, if he can do all of this in one night, he has to be considered the GOAT. And after the game, I posted on Snapchat, hey, Drew Brees the GOAT. Give props when it's due. He's the best quarterback in the league right now, hands down. That's what I said. But Drew Brees, he's a very good quarterback. He's a future Hall of Famer. He's the GOAT. That's point blank.
So, Marlon,
go ahead. I'm listening.
I'm 31. How old are you, Marlon?
I'm 32.
Okay, so Drew Brees is 39, okay? This is an age where you're not supposed to be excelling in football or anything other than you're maybe playing golf or whatever. He is 148 for 190. That's 78% completions, 11 touchdowns, 0 interceptions. This guy's going to turn 40 before the season ends. When's Father Time going to catch up to this guy? He is cruising. He looks like he's in his early 20s. He's almost 40.
The way Drew Brees prepares, man, a really cool story I'll never forget. When I got the call to go to New Orleans, this was in the beginning of January. We're in the early part of the playoffs, about to go on this you know, we're right in the middle of the playoff run to the Super Bowl. I'll never forget. I was new to the team, so one thing I wanted to do was make sure I was there super early. And I got there really early, still dark out. And I remember getting there, and I saw a car there. So I'm like, man, who's here? Man, that was Drew Brees. That dude called the first car there and the last car to leave every day, and it's probably still that way. So that just speaks about, you know, how he prepares, man, and what he does. It's not too much you can throw at him. The word GOAT does get thrown around a lot lately. So me and Trey off air were just kind of wanting to kind of chronologize this in a sense of let's go great of eras, right? Because, I mean, it's it's tough when you start talking all time. And as Drew sit on those lists, because there's a lot of guys. I mean, we got fact in Trey's a born millennial. He was actually born right, you know, after, you know, so he can't really think back that far. But we are seeing greatness, and I mean that term is thrown around a lot. I do think he's amongst the GOATs, but I don't think we can really go out and call, you know, on a limb and call him, you know, the GOAT. But he's definitely one of the greats. And I see the, you know, we're guys looking at me like, wait, what you talking about? But now he's definitely one of the better guys we've seen in our era. I do think that, man, just Teddy Bridgewater and Taysom Hill are very appreciative to, you know, get knowledge, man. This past training camp, you know, me, Gus, and the guys were there, man, and I was just watching them after practice, really working with Cam Meredith to really get him down pack with the offense and just the little small things, small things really turn into big things, and, you know, that guy understands that in Drew Brees.
Okay, so a lot of folks like to say that Tom Brady was the best quarterback of this generation. So the question I'm going to ask you guys is, if you take Drew Brees and you put him in a New England uniform after he signs from San Diego, does he win four or five championships like Brady did? Because I think he would. I think that if he were to play Tom Brady's career out the way that Tom Brady did, he would have a similar level of success.
I feel like if he did that, I don't feel like they'll be able to win as many championships as they did with the Brady Belichick situation. I feel like it would have took at least two to three years just to get Brees acclimated with the system, the playbook, and the players, and especially the coaching staff. So I feel like they wouldn't have won those Super Bowls.
Yeah, I do think overall Tom Brady is the better quarterback, and there's a lot of things to factor in. Drew Brees has a lot of obstacles, and one that he mastered was his height. If you look at when he throws the ball, he looks up late, kind of take that little look in the air. That's because he want to make sure he's pinpoint accurate. But it's something that's not being mentioned a lot, Casey, that I want to bring up that plays a role in all of this. Sean Payton, Coach Sean Payton. Let's do the Sean Payton for the people watching. We're going to do the Shamar Moore dance. Sean Payton, do your dance. Sean Payton is the golden terms of offensive minds of all times. You can't undermine the fact that this man is probably the greatest offensive mind of all time. Flip side, Coach Bill Belichick.
Yeah.
It's the greatest defensive mind of all time. So it's more along the lines of, you know, pick what you, of course Drew Brees is going to throw for a gazillion yards because, I mean, he's in an offense that's very prolific and they throw 90% of the time. Whereas Tom's going to have some defenses. I tell people this all the time. Rule of thumb with football, offense will score you a lot of touchdowns, get your numbers, but defense wins your championships. And to tie it into what you guys are talking about in terms of Drew Brees, he probably will have some rings under his belt, man, because that defense gets it done.
Yeah.
But I'm talking about comeback kids. They're even in this category. Most, you know, comebacks. No one will ever forget. And shouts out to all the Atlanta Falcons fans out there. That 28-3 score in the third quarter. It's Tom Brady. How Drake said it, they threw me 10 grand. I threw it like Brady. He came back. Hello, somebody. Yes, indeed. And that's a little baby song, too, by the way, featuring Drake. But yeah, man, I thought that, you know, this is a great conversation. And it sucks that this is like the conversation about the whole GOAT deal because it takes away from the greatness of Drew Brees and what he was able to accomplish this past Monday. I thought it was monumental in the way he did it. Another guy's in history too. Tre'Quan Smith.
Yeah.
Rookie year catches the ball that breaks the record. Yeah. So I know he's a young guy that's excited about that because he's going to take away his name's going to Canton as well early.
You know what I was thinking as I was seeing that happen is I'm thinking, man, that's Tre'Quan Smith's first touchdown. Most guys like to have the ball for their first touchdown. You ain't getting that ball, Tre'Quan. That one's going to Canton, Ohio. So they're going to have to find another way to try to commemorate that, I'm sure. But man, that was what struck me is, man, what a way to catch your first career touchdown pass.
Yes, indeed. That was big time right there and the way it was done. The defense, I don't know what's going on with Washington, man, but it's tough to come in this dome and get a win on a Monday night, especially with a team rolling like this.
No doubt about it. Let's take a quick commercial break. From a positive note, we go to a negative note. LSU struggled last week. They've got another huge game coming up in Death Valley on Saturday. We'll talk about that and some other college football here on Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School on ESPN New Orleans.
Thursdays have lunch with the Sports Hangover at our ESPN Lunch Club as we're live at Vinny's in Metairie, 3217 Ridgelake Drive. Each and every Thursday, we'll do the show live from Vinny's where you can enjoy delicious fresh wraps, burgers, and more. Vinny's is also home to the best happy hour in town, 3 to 7 p.m. every day. And that happy hour includes signature cocktails. Stop in this and every Thursday at Vinny's, 3217 Ridgelake Drive in Metairie for the Sports Hangover, 12 to 3 p.m. on ESPN New Orleans.
Pipes. Joe Septic Contractors has specialized in the installation of sewage systems, field drains, and vacuum truck services for over 40 years. They've grown into one of the largest sanitation companies in Louisiana. Call Joe Septic Contractors today about their rentals on portable toilets, holding tanks, iron hand wash stations, and air-conditioned restroom trailers for your next event. Call Joe Septic Contractors today at 985-632-5592 or visit their website at www.joeseptic.com.
Good luck to Mason Boudreaux, number 32. Go Colonels!
De La Salle is the Christian Brothers High School on the Avenue, a tradition of excellence since 1949. Experience why De La Salle is the right fit by scheduling a spend-a-day tour for your child online at delasallenola.com. Tours are available daily through November 9th. The De La Salle Open House is on Tuesday, November 6th from 4 till 7 p.m. De La Salle, the right fit.
When the sun comes up, people around here are already in motion. Vision Communications is no exception. We've built miles and miles of fiber optic network right here. Our goal is simple, constant improvement, so we can continue to bring your family quality service for telephone, internet, television, and home security. Day in and day out, we will not stop moving forward. We call it bringing you a better vision. More than a slogan, it's a promise. Vision Communications.
Hello, friends. I am Bob Duway, a candidate for the Greater Lafourche Port Commission, seat G number 71. For more information on my candidacy, please call 856-8005. Paid for by the Bob Duway Campaign Fund.
Think your child might have swallowed the wrong medication, gotten into your household products, had a reaction to a bite or a sting? Call the Poison Helpline first for fast, free advice from medical professionals. Call 1-800-222-1222 anytime, anywhere. Save the number. Save a life. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
De La Salle is the Christian Brothers High School on the Avenue, a tradition of excellence since 1949. Experience why De La Salle is the right fit by scheduling a spend-a-day tour for your child online at DeLaSalleNola.com. Tours are available daily through November 9th. The De La Salle Open House is on Tuesday, November 6th from 4 till 7 p.m. De La Salle, the right fit.
It's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans, every Wednesday here on ESPN New Orleans. Now, here's your hosts, Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Faye Favorite.
When you play in the SEC and you're not named Alabama, you're going to run into some tough games, and LSU ran into a tough game in the Swamp last Saturday. They fall 27-19 in a game that, really, if you look at the stats, was about dead even. Florida gained 391 yards, LSU 372. First downs, LSU 20, Florida 19. But, gentlemen, I guess one of the big things that was a factor is LSU turned over the ball late. That allowed Florida to sort of pull away. And then LSU also had a really hard time stopping Florida's rushing offense. They got 43 carries, 215 yards offensively. That was a little bit surprising to me, is how much better Florida was up front on both sides of the ball throughout the game.
Yeah, man, I was just talking with Trey about this off air, man. The energy that was there for Florida played the major factor early on in this game. You got Tim Tebow's name being dropped, being put up on in the stadium, you know, next to all the greats, Florida. You had the entire 2008 Florida National Championship team there on the sideline. It was a lot of miscues, missed opportunities. Joe Burrow has two interceptions on the year. Both came from in this game at the tail end of the fourth quarter. But I want to look at something real quick, Casey, when we're talking about this game. I know you ran the numbers from the Florida game, but I want to look at the leaders on this team. You got Jake Fromm. He's thrown 12 touchdowns, two interceptions. Joe Burrow's thrown six, two interceptions. Joe Burrow has more yards. He has 15 more yards than Fromm, right? Then you go to the running backs, right? We're talking skill positions. We'll stick to the skill positions, and then we could possibly take it, or Trev take it into my favorite place of the game, inside the trenches. But the numbers, of the point I'm getting at, even with Holyfield and Broussett has 576 yards on the year, eight touchdowns. He has, Holyfield has three touchdowns, 432 yards. So what you have here, is a team from a statistical standpoint not that far apart, and LSU has the edge. LSU is coming off of a loss. Lost to Florida. Now, this is a Georgia team that's number two in the country. They're coming down here with LSU with a lot of tenacity and just this raw, like the Hawk. You know, when you poke the Hawk, you turn to the Hawk. But I'm telling you, man, this LSU game is going to be special this weekend.
Yep, I feel the same way. I feel like LSU, I'm going to take it inside the trenches. I feel like LSU's defensive line, they don't get a lot of pass rush. Looking at it, the passing yards allowed is 221. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
And then if you think about it per game, that's a lot. And then to calculate at the season just to see how your team did, that is probably going to be the main thing highlighted. If you just look at that. Rushing-wise, they're able to stop the run. I feel like LSU, defensive line-wise, they just have to stop the pass and get a better pass rush. Because mm-hmm. you have the defensive backs and linebackers to help you in the back. If you get the pressure up front, pressure the quarterback, and just have the quarterback having a mindset to, hey, either roll out mm-hmm. or he's going to have to throw the ball up either way. So just to get that the quarterback in a mindset to, hey, I have to salvage the play. I have to make something out of it. You have the people in the back. So I feel like if they can get a pass rush, a better pass rush, mm-hmm. I feel like LSU's defense is going to be even better when they go to play Alabama.
I agree.
One interesting thing I'm looking at, guys, is there's been so much made about LSU's offensive line play and how they struggled to protect Joe Burrow. And a lot of folks have told me, well, you know, Kirby Smart, Georgia, you know, they're going to have a hard time protecting Burrow. And I kind of dug into the numbers. Georgia, as a team, only has 5 sacks this year. Their defensive line is not one of the better defensive lines in the SEC. In fact, DeAndre Walker has 4 of those 5 sacks by himself, which means the whole rest of the team only has 1 sack. And what I want to see is early in the game, can Georgia survive that first wave? Because, look, they're 6-0. They're a really good team. They're really talented. But they haven't been punched back by anybody this year. They played Austin Peay, South Carolina, Middle Tennessee, Missouri, Tennessee, Vanderbilt. You know what all those teams can't do? None of those teams can hang with LSU. So if LSU could deliver that first blow, can they get up off the canvas and find a way to make it a game? I think a fast start for LSU on Saturday is going to be huge.
You took the words right out of my mouth. As Trey was talking about the yards for LSU allowing, and you are right. That I complained about that right after the game with the LSU Sports Network, but Georgia hadn't played anybody yet.
Yeah.
If you look at who LSU played versus who Georgia played, LSU's taking down a top 10 Miami team. We took down a top 10 Auburn team, played close with a really good hungry Florida team. And again, we're getting this is the bulk of our schedule. So I don't want to I don't want to get out of hand with this. I do know that we are about to go through a gauntlet, with Georgia, Mississippi State, and of course, a bye week. Yes, a bye week, Trey. And then, sweet home Alabama at home by us though. So I am looking forward to this stretch. I look forward to talking pregame and postgame. Postgame is. I just hope I am happy. But the point I'm making is, I mean, if you look at – this is going to be the first real game Georgia's going to play this year. So it is going to be more of a competitive game than people think it'll be.
We'll make our picks on this game a little bit later in the show. But, Marlon, let me ask you this. As a player, you know, LSU guy, if LSU folks always tell me, man, I hate 2:30 kickoffs. I like 7 o'clock kickoffs. This is a 2:30 kickoff. As a player, did it really make much of a difference to you guys either way?
Man, I hate 2:30 kickoffs, man. I wish this was a 7:30 kickoff. As a player, yes, it did. It really did, man. And a lot of my teammates will attest to this. As a player, here's one of those situations where you want to chill, get a nice full breakfast, watch film with the defensive coordinator and your position coach, then go back to the room and just get off your feet. And me personally, watch something that's not even football related, you know, put on something that's kind of competitive, like, you know, I don't know, maybe 300 or Troy or something of that nature to kind of get me hype. Or I'll watch, you know, I like to watch a movie that's not just about football right before the game just to kind of ease my mind. Then there's a pregame meal.
Yeah.
With the 2:30 games, the pregame meal is the breakfast. You go through your film, and before you know it, it's 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, 11, around probably 11-ish, and you have to head over to the stadium. So it's a blessing on the back end, right? You get a whole bunch of time after to kind of chill, unwind, and, you know, talk about the win or what have you, and then go out with this, you know, in this situation, and obviously 2:30. I mean, 2:30, they'll get that, but, you know, the nighttime games is the difference, but it does have somewhat of an effect.
Casey, I got a question.
Go ahead, brother.
Do you feel like LSU's defensive backs can contain Georgia's passing game?
I don't know. You know, I really don't know because, look, one of the things I'm seeing with these guys right now is that Greedy Williams locks up one side of the field, and then on the other side of the field, sometimes it's a little bit inconsistent. And you know, that's disappointing to see because, like you guys talked about, they're sacrificing pass rush by sending four, dropping back seven a lot of the times. So you would think that by doing that, they would be a little bit better in the secondary than they've been. But they've given up some big plays, man. And if you look at Jake Fromm completing 72% of his passes, and then they bring in Justin Fields at times, he's completing 78% of his passes. I think LSU is going to have to find a way to get in the quarterback's face a little bit, because if not, they're going to have a hard time. Because if you give Jake Fromm all day long to throw the ball, he's going to find an open receiver. All those guys are 4- and 5-star players. They'll get open eventually.
There you go. Pass rush.
Yeah, and Trey took the words out of my mouth again. You guys are just taking my words. What's going on? It's going to go back to the pass rush. It really is, Casey, man. We have to get more pressure on a quarterback. As a former LSU defensive lineman, at times I was disgruntled, disappointed in the performance in the past few weeks in terms of the passing game. I don't want to say that because you can't get on the coaches obviously all the time. You know, the players have to, you know, they're actually going out there to execute, but I do think it's a situation where LSU is reading and then reacting as opposed to reacting on a go to the quarterback. I was coached, this is when I was in Indianapolis coach, man. I want to say, yeah, Dwight Freeney on this team, Robert Mathis, you had Fila in the middle and Dan Muriel, and you had Big Mook Johnson would rotate in on that defensive line. This is the defensive line that lost to the Saints on the Super Bowl team. But I remember Coach John Tierlick. He coached those guys I just mentioned, John Randall. He's probably going to be in the Coaches Hall of Fame, more than likely he is. And one thing he always told us was like, yeah, make the tackle on a run on the way to the quarterback. So, you know, that's kind of like, and in my time at LSU, we ran the 4-3, so we had one gap responsibility. You would have two-way going to rush. You know, sometimes you have a designated inside rusher, but you got the quarterback sacks. The quarterback sacks are very important. The quarterback is the leader of that team. You get him rattled. Look, Trey looking at me like, yeah, man, I'm ready for the game this weekend, too. I'm gonna take notes, baby. You get him rattled. You know, the more you bat a quarterback ball down, the more you hit him, the more he's sacked, you know, strip force fumbles, that messes with quarterback mentally.
Yeah.
You don't want a guy like Jake Fromm back there comfortable. Nick Saban didn't let him sit back there comfortable, so we can't. So I do feel that this LSU team, I'm not going to take this one loss and say, oh, man, what's going on? No, I think this team is going to be hungry, and they needed this humility. They did. They needed. I honestly thought this was a good loss. A lot of folks, man, ain't no loss good. Man, when you have a schedule like this in the toughest out the SEC. Yes, the toughest division in the SEC West is the toughest games you could play in college football. I don't care what nobody say. The SEC altogether is tough, but let's be honest, man.
The West
is the wild, wild West. For real. FRFR. You know, y'all like to abbreviate stuff now. but nah, man, in all actuality, we have to get more quarterback sacks, and that's just the bottom line.
All right, one more question for you guys before we take a commercial break. I'm going to vent a little bit, okay? Let's say it's overtime in an NFL game, and you got the ball at the other team's 40-yard line, and you got, let's say, one of the top three or four best running backs on the team, and it's 4th-and-1. Would you punt or would you go for it? Marlon knows what I'm talking about here.
Well, I'm going to be quite honest with you. I'm going for it right there. We don't need any momentum. At that point of the game, we had all the momentum. We
yes.
did. I'm going for it. And I trust this defense. So that's why for sure I'm going for it. But, again, I just think we might have got a little too lax right there in this game. We got Colt Tracy. He is a key player on our team right now. But in those situations, I don't think that this was that situation.
Well, Marlon, I'm talking about the Cowboys, brother.
Oh, man. Don't get me started with them.
Yeah.
That's another team.
Hello.
Hello, somebody. Man, and they're messing with me bad down here because how are you a Louisiana guy that actually played for the Saints, and that's not the team you talk about the most? Well, I love the Saints and the Cowboys. It's okay for me to have two teams. But, yeah, man, we got to go, especially against Houston, man. Now, that Houston defense is pretty good.
Yeah.
You have to give it to them. Tyrann Mathieu was a really good addition to that team, man. But I will just so we could kind of feel somewhat okay. You know, the schedule coming up, we got like Tennessee. I don't think it's the next game. We play the Titans here soon, and Trey's pulling up the schedule. So
play the Jaguars Sunday.
Sunday, and they just lost. But hey, they don't have Leonard Fournette right now, so we definitely have a shot. But teams aren't blowing us out. Right,
sure.
We're losing the teams.
Close. Six,
you know, this last game was 19-16. You know, we lost to Seattle by a fraction. I mean, it's just one of those situations where, you know, Dallas is dealing with a lot of injuries up front as well.
Finding ways to lose games, man. That ain't any good. Let's take our next commercial break, our final commercial break. When we get back, we're going to make our picks from high school, college, and the pros. It's Prep Weekly brought to you by De La Salle High School.
At Thibodaux Regional, we're proud to announce we've received HealthGrade's 2017 Outstanding Patient Experience and Patient Safety Excellence Awards. What's more, we're the only hospital in Louisiana to achieve both awards 4 years in a row. Why should this matter? Because it confirms two things: our commitment to quality and your satisfaction, both very important when it comes to your family's health care. Thibodaux Regional, once again recognized by HealthGrades for providing outstanding quality care. For more info, go to Thibodaux.com.
One theft every 6.5 minutes. 156 thefts every day. Car thieves appreciate all the help they can get, so here's a shout-out to the more than 57,000 drivers who admittedly made it easy for the thieves last year. 57,000 who left the keys in their vehicle and had it stolen. A 22% increase in just a year. Old habits die hard, and thieves can't help themselves, especially when it's so easy. So why is it so difficult for some people to turn off the car, take the key or the fob, and lock it up before they walk away? Turn off the ignition and lock your vehicle every time you get out. Don't leave keys or fobs inside. Put all valuables out of sight in the trunk or take them with you. Lock it before you leave it. Don't make it easy for the thief. If you know something about vehicle theft or insurance fraud, call us at 1-800-TEL-NICB. That's 1-800-TEL-NICB. A public service message from the National Insurance Crime Bureau.
I'm T.J. Lafont, candidate for the Port Commission CC. I have over 49 years of experience in the marine industry. I previously served on the Port Commission for 12 years and 6 years as vice president. Please vote number 69 on November the 6th. Paid for by Jimmy T.J. Lafont.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke. I couldn't speak or walk.
This is high blood pressure. Get back on your plan. Go to loweryourhbp.org. Brought to you by the American Stroke Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Bolick and Wingo.
Raiders' new head coach, our longtime Monday Night Football guy, John Gruden, sat down with our Lisa Salters and addressed the fact that Khalil Mack was no longer there. Obviously, they traded him away.
To sit there and say he had a contract, he didn't want to be here. Under that logic, had John Gruden been the coach of the Los Angeles Rams, Aaron Donald would have been traded.
Correct.
Had he been the coach of New York Giants last year, Odell Beckham would have been traded.
Correct.
They were under contract and they held out. I just wonder, in all of John Gruden's head coaching career, if they ever had a holdout when he was coaching that ended up getting paid. Because it makes it sound like if you got under contract and you hold out, you're not part of this team, you don't want to be part of this team. So John Gruden's logic there was a little twisted.
How do they know they didn't have any conversations with him? From everything that we've been told from Adam Schefter and everybody else, they had not spoken about details of a contract with Khalil Mack since February. So how do you know he didn't want to be there?
Golic and Wingo, weekday mornings at 6 Eastern on ESPN Radio and ESPN2.
It's Prep Weekly, brought to you by De La Salle High School in New Orleans, every Wednesday here on ESPN New Orleans. Now, here's your hosts, Casey Gisclair and Marlon Big Faye Favorite.
One more segment to go, and we're up against the clock a little bit. We talked a little bit too much about Drew Brees and LSU throughout the show, so we're going to go quickly here. High school football, we've got Landry Walker against John Erick, y'all.
I'm going John Erick. I think John Erick wins this game by two touchdowns.
Same. I go Erick, two touchdowns. It's a big – I think it's senior night for them. So, yeah, Erick.
No way I could pick Mumphrey as my MVP and then pick Landry Walker. I'm going John Erick as well. John Curtis against St. Augustine. Will the Patriots stay undefeated?
Yeah, I have Curtis staying undefeated. I think they're going to beat him by 2 to 3 touchdowns.
Curtis stays undefeated. They're going to beat him by at least 10 points.
Yeah, I think Curtis is going to get the win here as well. Now, Rumble and Jesuit, another Catholic League matchup.
I think in this game, I think Rumble wins. I think the way Chandler Fields is performing right now is at all-time high. I think it's a win by like 2 or 3 points.
Same. I think Coy Moore getting back to his Division I status and him playing high, and also Chandler Fields and Jalen Sturgis playing high, I think Rumble's going to beat Jesuit.
I'm going to go against you guys here. I think Jesuit's going to find a way to get this one. If they held John Curtis to just 7.5 points, I think that they're going to find a way to squeak one out. But this is going to be a hard-fought matchup. Out on the river, Terrebonne against East St. John.
Terrebonne, East St. John. I'm going to, Casey, don't get mad at me. I'm going to go with the River Rat, baby, East St. John. I think East St. John, that lost last week, got their mind right. Too many athletes on the field. They pull off a win, but by about 5 to 7 points.
I think I'm going to go with Marlon. I think East St. John's going to win because I was scrolling down. I saw that somebody posted, if East St. John defensively gets a big play, they have like a little yellow bag that has a little money sign. And it said, you make a play, you get the bag. So I think East St. John's going to win.
How you guys said, they're going to secure the bag.
Yep, secure the bag.
Secure the bag, baby.
I think the Terrebonne's going to win this game, guys. They got too much. A young man by the name of Chaz Ward is doing great things for them. I think they're going to get the win. Now we go to college here. Let's see, to the SEC where we have Texas A&M at South Carolina. This is West versus East. A&M traveling to South Carolina. They are a 2-point favorite in the game.
I'll go Texas A&M. I feel like South Carolina isn't going to be able to play with the Jimbo and his offense and defense. So I feel like Texas A&M is going to win.
I'll go with Trey on this one. I think Texas A&M is going to win this game. As Jimbo heats up in the SEC, he's getting used to it. He understands he's in the Wild Wild West right now, and I think that they beat this SEC East team by at least, I'd say about 14.
This is a matchup of two guys that were coached you, man, Jimbo and Will Muschamp.
Yes.
This should be a two Saban disciples. I think the Jimbo's going to get the win, though, out in South Carolina.
Let's see.
Big Ten, Wisconsin. They slipped up earlier in the season, took a loss. So did Michigan. They're traveling to the Big House to take on Michigan. Michigan's an 8.5-point favorite in the game.
I'm going with Michigan, man. Is that the Big House? The spread is at 8.5. I think Michigan. I take Michigan in the spread. They come off with the win.
Same. I go Michigan. The Big House, it's too loud. Like, I will literally watch Michigan play, and I can hear the fans all the way in my room. So, yeah, I feel like Michigan's going to win.
I agree. Shea Patterson's starting to find his rhythm there. I think Michigan's going to win. Now, in the SEC, crazy things tend to happen. Florida, coming off of a big win against LSU, an emotional win against LSU, traveling to take on Vanderbilt for an 11 o'clock kickoff. Is there any chance at all Vanderbilt scores the upset here?
It's not a shot in the world that Vanderbilt will win this game. I do think that Florida's still on their high. Vanderbilt, you know, they did get crushed by Georgia last week. Florida's just – They've developed a rhythm. You got Coach Dan Mullen. He's starting to feel his way back into Florida. Remember, he was the offensive coordinator there back when we played him. So I think Florida win this game by at least close to three scores, 2.5 score.
Same. I think Vanderbilt doesn't have a chance at all. I think Florida now getting a big win over LSU, now upholding their season, and now they're going to start pushing for it. Brad Stewart, he's from New Orleans. He went to McDonald 35. He's a young player. He caught a pick last game against LSU. If he can continue to improve as a player and also help his defense improve, I think Florida's going to be a very tough SEC team.
Now, you guys are saying Florida big, which is curious to me because Vegas says Florida only by 7. I agree with you. I think Florida's going to win this game easily. So if anybody's out in Biloxi thinking about maybe laying someone this game, we all sort of agree Florida's got an edge on that one. So anyway, we go to the NFL and we see, oh boy, we've got the Jaguars and the Cowboys. The Jaguars are 3-2. The Cowboys are 2-3. The game is at Jerry World. Leonard Fournette is out, but the Jaguars are a 3-point favorite, Marlon.
I'll take my emotion out of it. I do think with Leonard Fournette being out, I think Dallas has a shot. I think Dallas wins by a field goal.
I feel like, well, at the point now, since we've been doing pick 'em, I feel like I can't pick the Cowboys anymore. I really feel like I can't pick the Cowboys anymore. I'm going to go with the Jaguars. Although Fournette is injured, T.J. Yeldon is a very good back. Blake Bortles, you know, he hasn't been showing us the real Blake Bortles coming out of UCF and doing what he did last year to bring them to the AFC Championship. But I still feel like the Jaguars are going to win.
Well, it's a Cowboys game, so you know it's going to be really close. You know it's going to come down to the end. You know Marlon Eye's blood pressure is going to rise. I think at the end of the day, the Cowboys are going to win this game. And one of the reasons why is one of the big advantages the Jaguars have is Jalen Ramsey could lock up a number one receiver. Well, guess what? We ain't got one. We're going to spread the ball around to guys, try to find ways to make plays. So I think the Cowboys are going to win a close game. The Chiefs traveling to Foxborough to take on the Patriots. It's sort of the new top dog against the current top dog.
I feel like it's going to be a tough game for the Chiefs defense, but I feel like the Chiefs are going to win because I think Patrick Mahomes is right now in the league right now in this season. I feel like he's a top 10 quarterback right now.
Yeah, man, I'm with Trey on this one. I'm going with the Chiefs. The way this young lad is performing is just phenomenal. I call him young Aaron Rodgers. He's just doing some phenomenal things. You have the best athletes on the field when their offense is out there. In terms of Tyreek Hill, you have Hunt, you have Kelce. I mean, that's a pretty good combination with a little bit of Patrick Mahomes giving that option to run his very strong arm. I think that they win this game.
I agree with you all. The Saints are on a bye, so we're not going to have a game to pick with them this week. So we know De La Salle is going to be our favorite in the high school ranks. So I'll lead off or close out the show with this. Will LSU beat Georgia in Death Valley, 2:30 p.m. kickoff?
I think last week the only reason I picked LSU is because my defensive line coach, he's from Florida, and he's a big Gator. So I feel like I picked LSU so I can pick with him. But since LSU let me down and I was looking at the thing, and Georgia's like a 20-point overdog. So I feel like Georgia's going to win in Death Valley. I feel like LSU, they're not going to be able to stop the passing game.
I'm going to be honest with you. We compared the numbers earlier. The numbers were really close. We looked at the schedule. We saw who Georgia played. They didn't play an opponent like this yet. Yes, our defensive line, I feel like they've made some adjustments at practice this week because they know that they really have to pressure this quarterback. I'll take LSU. Go Tigers.
Last year, Georgia traveled to Auburn and got walloped 40-17. I'm not going to say that LSU is going to hammer them, but I do think they're going to struggle with the crowd noise. Give me LSU in a low-scoring, hard-fought defensive game. But anyway, gentlemen, I want to thank you all for a great time, as always. Great show. Dennis Skaines, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Next week, same time, same place. We're going to wrap up week 7, talk about week 8. You guys have a great week. It's going to be beautiful weather this weekend. Go on out, catch a ball game. Good night, everybody.
More than 50 years ago, SL Bank first opened its doors for business. We opened to serve the needs of families and businesses that had been largely ignored by bigger city banks and to operate as a true community bank.
That means exceptional service, long-term relationships, value-driven accounts, and services, and the assurance your financial future is important to us. Today, those commitments remain unchanged. SL Bank, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. La Rose, North La Rose, Golden Meadow, Cutoff, and Galliano.
Stuck in a state of falling behind? Struggling to keep up with your kids?